You may be dismissed to go to Children's Church. Hoo-haw. I don't know about you guys, but I really feel like the Lord's talking today. Kind of tempted to just toss my sermon in the garbage and go do something else. But I think it fits. I think it all fits. We're going to be reading in Galatians today. We're going to be skipping a little bit. We're going to be reading from Galatians 5 today, kind of busting out of our works versus law versus faith debate and moving on to something different. But before we read this morning, would you join me in prayer? Holy Father, you are good and you are powerful. And Lord, today, even as we lift our voices, we now lift our hearts. We lift our very selves to you, that you would come and that you would speak your words into us. Plant seeds of your substance into us that we may be in you and you in us. Lord Jesus, I just pray this morning as we look into your word that you would speak by your Spirit, speak to your church today. Lord, may the words that are said be from you. Lord, please smooth out my wrinkles and go before us all now as we seek you. Don't depart this place, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. We're reading here from Galatians 5, 13 through 25. It says this: "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Oh, man. I have not in a long time felt the word like come to me as happened when we were singing. I feel like I have a word from the Lord this morning. I'm going to put it where I think it needs to be, but wow, holy smokes. You know what, though? There's a stat that I want to lay before you this morning. And it's a statistic that isn't like, we don't live and die by statistics, but it's telling. Did you know that 71% of people released from prison, 71% are again convicted of a serious crime after they're released? 71%. 68% of those will return to prison. You know, some of them get off or whatever, but 68% return. After they're released from prison, they return. We've been discussing in the discipleship class the thought of the full gospel. The idea not only did Jesus pay the penalty for our sin, but he also dealt with the problem of sin. It's like we're in a jail cell, and he takes away our sentence. He dies for us, but he also opens the door. We're free. We're free, church. It says here, and I'm going to use the whiteboard today because it helps me think, and I need all the help I can get. Freedom. Freedom! This is not a fleeting freedom, church, that Jesus gives us. This is a special kind of freedom, very special kind. Let me try to explain. True freedom, the essence of freedom. It's hard to even quantify, hard to even describe the vastness of this kind of freedom. Now, okay, we get teeny glimpses of it sometimes. Y'all can remember. Come on, think back and think hard. Put yourself in a situation. The first time you had keys to the car and $20 in your pocket and it was Saturday. You remember, don't you? Huh?
Back then, that $20 was in your pocket.
That's true. Like a little lightning flash, right? Something sort of wells up. You remember, oh, I'm totally free. But it quickly diminishes, doesn't it? As soon as you realize, oh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Oh, my money's gone. You know. Quickly, reality reminds us we're not totally free. But we had this, like, something rose in us that was bigger than the actual freedom that we had, right? That feeling was sort of like, wow, I've got the world by the tail. But we didn't really. But you know what I'm talking about? That thing that rose up. Or like when you're thinking about, when you're a student and you're thinking about graduating high school, that light at the end of the tunnel, you think that as soon as that day's over, that, wow, the world is just going to be, this, you're going to be free.
Yeah.
Right? You know the feeling that I'm talking about? The feeling that rises up in those moments when you think, oh, the weekend's coming. There's something that, and then quickly the weekend comes and reality once again rushes in and reminds us of the truth that we're not really free. There's elements. But that flash of feeling is a tiny glimpse, I think, of the kind of whole, true freedom that Christ gives us. It's just that fast of a glimpse. We're talking about wide open freedom. Total freedom. This kind of freedom now it's dangerous. This kind of freedom is powerful. This kind of in Him freedom, to be free from sin, is to be free from the fear of death, is to be free from fear at all. To be free of hesitation. To be free of limitation. Every string that ties us down, every burden that we carry, every guilt, every obligation, even gravity. That's the kind of freedom Jesus bought us. Total freedom. I want to offer you a thought this morning, and be careful with it. Lots of precious things. The kind of freedom that Jesus affords us, that He brings us, is to be like God. He offered it to us in the garden. Freedom. Just freedom. They were free. But see, they were convinced by the enemy to separate their freedom from God. In Him is freedom. When we remove God from freedom, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. You can't separate freedom from its source, which is in God. So, Christ offers us freedom. Freedom connected to its source, which is God. And He also deals with the problem of sin. You were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. You see, concept number two this morning is the will. In our discipleship class, we've been kind of tracking, and you guys have seen this from me before. Don't want to go here yet. It says in verse 14, the whole law is summed up, is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. All of the law, all of the requirement for man is summed up in that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's take a look at the will here, that we cannot separate from freedom. They have to go hand in hand. Now, we've talked about elements before in here and in class of God, the Trinity. It says in 1 John, or not 1 John, it says in John 1. Let me just skip there real quick because I'll try to quote it to you and I'll get it wrong. And nobody likes to misquote Scripture. In 1 John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was only God. But God's not alone. See, there's three persons in God. And there's motion. Even in the beginning, there is a pouring and a filling that happens between the persons of the Trinity. There is relationship. There's a back and forth. Emotion. Movement. Action. Power. Do you know what we call that? We in our weakened understanding? This pouring, this filling, this backwards and forth in God Himself. Unadulterated and perfect. In total freedom. Freedom that you and I will never even know. Oh, where am I going to put it? We call it love. The action, the motion inside of God. The pouring and filling that goes back and forth between the Father and Son, between the Father and the Holy Spirit, between the Holy Spirit and the Son, between the Holy Spirit and the Father. You see, this God is one. God is one. He is perfect. He is seven, seven, seven. Perfection, perfection, perfection. He is one. All that is in God is love. All that's in God is love. Love is all that is in Him. There is no love outside of Him. Everything outside of Him is not love. That is a purity of will. A purity of will. One thing, love. Love for Himself and love for what's outside of Himself. You see? That love, that purity of will goes in all directions from Him. It manifests itself in an infinite number of ways. We know that, right? I mean, sometimes God will say something we know that is love, but doesn't feel like love or doesn't look like love, but we know that all that is in Him is love. To contrast that, now, tracking with me so far, hopefully, maybe, sorta, kinda, the idea? To contrast that is the conflicted heart. See? Pure heart loves Himself and He loves others. But see, I don't even know how to draw this. If this is us, and we're outside of God, we're sort of segmented, aren't we? We just draw some awkward segments if this is us. My analogies will always fall flat eventually. None of them are perfect, but we are segmented. We're scattered. We're divided. There is not a cohesive will to us. Right? Like the way we say God, God is love. Everything inside of God is love. There is nothing inside God but love. Everything outside of God is not love. There is no love outside of God. That's like a cohesiveness. It all follows the same rule, but we're all over the place. Disorderly. We love self more than we love others. We make new rules and we change the rules to suit ourselves. We desire to do good. We desire to reflect love. But generally speaking, we do it the best when it benefits number one. Yeah? It's true. See, there is a break in our will. We love self and we love others, but not always in an equal way. Our will is broken. It's not perfectly cohesive like God's will is. Understand? Because we are disconnected from the source of love, which is unified. God's love. So, you were called to freedom. But to be free, we have to be unified in Him. One love, one God. We have to have, if we're in His will, then we have that one love for God and for ourselves and for our neighbor. It's all one. Concept number three. Fruit. It lists here in the next passage here, verses 16 through 26. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by this, not by this, and it will be evident. It lists the works of the flesh. It lists the works of the Spirit. When we hold something in our hands, I mean, if you get something in the mail, you get a product. I got something here. I've got a multi-tool that I carry with me all the time. Now, when you hold something in your hand that's maybe brand new or you've never seen it before or you just found out about it or whatever, do you ever look? And I wonder if it even says on here where it's made. You ever do that? Now, be honest with me. This doesn't say. I think this is made in America. This is Leatherman, so I think I don't know. Does anybody know? Are they made in America? Anyway. Does it ever make any difference when somebody hands you something that's brand new, you've never seen it before or whatever, and you're kind of, you know, rolling it around in your hands, and you see made in China? Does that ever make a difference? It does, doesn't it? And sometimes you'd be surprised how much of a difference it makes. You hold something in your hand and says, you know, made in Democratic Republic of Congo. It's not one you see very often. It does make a difference, doesn't it? It's not that Chinese people or Congolese people or American people are any different in value, but the things that come out of different places tend to carry with them a little bit of a discrepancy in quality. What's the source? Where does it come from? And no matter what we hold in our hands, there's always a motive behind the thing. There's always a force that brought things to us, whether they be deeds or feelings or Leathermans. There's a reason that I carry this. There's a motive. All kinds of them, actually. My motive is to have a tool when I need it. Leatherman's motive is to make a quality product and make a profit. See, there's motives. The distributor that I bought it from had a motive and had a role in this. Everything that comes across our plates, whether it be physical or non-physical, there is a force behind it, a motive behind it. There is a source that brought it to be. We're always searching, we're looking around for true altruism. You see it in our culture, in our society. There's all these types of people that want to outfare each other. Who's got the fairest trade coffee? Who's got the fairest food? Who's got the fairest clothes? Who's got the fairest tools? Who's the most fair? Who's the most right? Stand up for these rights. Stand up for those rights. There's always an angle. Unless. What's the saying? There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's always an angle for everything, action. There's always a will. Always a will. Matthew 12, Jesus talks about trees and fruit. I like when he talks about farming types of things. Matthew 12, 33, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and your words you will be condemned. Contrast, you see, between the fruit of a life lived in here or a life lived outside of the source of everything good. Really, this is the difference between animal and man as he ought to be. Animal, man as he ought to be. Now, fortunately, praise God, he gave us a roadmap. A roadmap. A perfect, and adequate in every way roadmap, the way to the kind of pure freedom. Pure will. This alignment of wills, and that roadmap is, can you guess it yet? Jesus. It's Christ himself. He called himself the way and the truth and the life. You get it? The way here, like this, is Jesus. Not only Jesus, the crucified Jesus. He showed us the way. By his words, by his actions, his testimony in our hearts as we seek him. He causes us to leap to life as we seek him and we find him. When we look at the source of all that is good, true love, trueness, we find the crucified Christ. Where to go from here? See, Jesus is the only one that can take all of the stuff that we wrestle with and juggle in life, all the mysteries, all the unanswered questions, all of the problems, the sicknesses, the disappointments. He can take those and put them together in such a way as to make perfect sense. He's the only one and the only thing that can do that. I love the words of James Stewart, who is a Scottish theologian. I've read these to you before, I'm going to do it again. He was the meekest and lowliest of the sons of men. Yet he spoke of coming on the clouds of heaven with the glory of God. He was so austere, he was so poor, that evil spirits and demons cried out in terror at his coming. Yet he was so genial and winsome and approachable that the children loved to play with him, and the little ones nestled in his arms. His presence that the innocent gaiety of a village wedding was like the presence of sunshine. No one was half so compassionate to sinners, yet no one ever spoke such red-hot, scorching words about sin. A bruised reed he would not break. His whole life was love. Yet on one occasion he demanded of the Pharisees how they ever expected to escape the damnation of hell. My kind of guy. He was a dreamer of dreams and a seer of visions. Yet for sheer stark realism, he has all of our stark realists soundly beaten. He was a servant of all, washing the disciples' feet, yet masterfully he strode into the temple, and the hucksters and money changers fell over one another to get out of the way of the mad rush and the fire that they saw blazing in his eyes. He saved others, yet at the last himself he did not save. There is nothing in history, church, like the union of contrasts which confronts us in the Gospels. The mystery of Jesus is the mystery of the divine personality. This is a special word for us because I know that in here this very morning are so many lives that are crying out to God. Family after family, person after person, I know you, and you know me. We're seeking him because there are things that we're up against that we don't understand, things that our friends are up against that we don't understand, problems, mountains. There are mountains in front of us that we do not know how we are going to get through or over or under or around. We have no idea. It's there, and we know we're careening toward it. And you know what I felt that I heard the Lord say to us this morning? I hate to even say it because I don't want to be one of, you know, like that or whatever. You know what I heard him say to me to tell you is this. You have trusted in me. You have kept your eyes on me. Wait and see what I will do. Right. Just wait. Keep your eyes on me. Wait and see what I will do, church. But now, says the Lord, who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble who among them can declare this and show us the former things. Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. It goes on and on. Fear not, people of God. Fix your eyes on him and wait and see what he will do. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. We have no other claims. You reached down by your mighty hand and raised us up. You lay waste to the mountains in front of us, O Lord, by your hand, not by ours. By faith we trust in you, Lord Jesus, and are justified, are glorified. So, Lord, come. Hear the cries of your people and come in mighty ways, that we might create testimonies of your love and of your care, and that we might, or that you might get glory for yourself through us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Go ahead and stand as we close in worship. Yeah.